Winona Forever is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, head on over to cageclub.me. Hi, I'm Lindsay Gibb.
And I'm Rekha Tulsaram.
And this is Winona Forever.
Back.
We're back. We've been gone
Winona
for 2 weeks.
Yes. Welcome to another episode. Our last kind of regular rotation episode. Mm-hmm. Whoa. Number 51. Yeah. It's been a journey.
It has. It'll be weird not to see each other every 2 weeks.
Yeah. Like, where's the emails?
Yeah, exactly.
So today we're going to talk about When Love Is Not Enough, the Lois Wilson story. This TV movie actually came out in 2010. And I didn't see it when it came out because I was like, how am I ever going to see this? But lo and behold, it's on YouTube now, 10 years later.
Wow, 10 years later. It took me a minute. I was like, what, 10? No, you're right.
So basically, this is a story about the woman who basically founded Alcoholics Anonymous and her life and her journey and like living with like an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. Basically, that sums it up really. There are some interesting things about this film. Did you like this movie?
I liked it more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah.
Like I was into it.
Yeah. Going into it, I was like, okay, this is a Hallmark movie. Mm-hmm. So, uh-oh. And then the start of it too just felt like, I don't know, it felt like Road to Avonlea or something.
Yeah, I mean, there was a budget. And it was shot in Toronto, so there was like some very Canadian-ness to it and wholesomeness.
My very first note is, very Canadian!
Yeah, there's so many Canadian things. I actually got kind of upset because this was shot in 2010 in Toronto.
Yeah.
Which means Winona was here in 2010.
Right.
So was I.
Right.
And I used to like go and check on the production lists and see what movies were playing just in case she's in Toronto.
Right.
I missed this one. She was at Union Station, like, a lot.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And she was sitting on a bench outside, like, Allen Gardens.
Allen Gardens, that's right, yeah.
I know. It's sad.
That's, like, the same time my friend and I were talking about doing a documentary called Missing Winona.
And you missed her.
I missed her. So it's, you know, another...
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It sucked. Anyway, but it was exciting also because of the Toronto content.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, shit. She was on those steps at Union. Hello. And the actors and all the supporting cast were Canadian.
Uh-huh.
There was that guy from You Can't Do That on Television.
Yes.
Adam.
Yes.
Something.
I have a note about him. I wrote down Adam Graydon Reed.
Yes. I met him in grade 3 when I auditioned for You Can't Do That on Television.
What? Were there kids that young in it?
Yeah, well, I couldn't read the word refrigerator. Like, I didn't make the cut.
Right.
My cousin made it to the last cut, but she couldn't cry in command or something. But
is she older?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's 4 years older.
So. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, grade 3 Rekha didn't make it. But there was another person on You Can't Do That on Television named Rekha.
Was it filmed in Ottawa?
Yeah, shot in Ottawa. So.
Wow. I used to watch Small World. You Can't Do That on Television.
Yeah. Alanis was also on it.
Alanis Morissette.
But yes, this little guy, Adam.
So Adam was also the guy who played Joe Shuster in the Heritage Minute.
Oh.
And it was funny because, like, Joe Shuster, he created Superman. And so in the Heritage moment, he's, like, talking to somebody named Lois.
Mm-hmm.
And Winona's name is Lois.
Yes.
So I realized it. I think it hit me when he called her Lois at some point. He said her name. And I was like, shit, wait a second.
You've said that name before.
The guy So I paused the movie and watched the Heritage Minute.
That's pretty good.
So yeah, if you guys aren't Canadian, you should check out our Heritage Minutes because they're pretty fun.
And
they're not. Well,
no, they're great. No, they're awesome. I totally agree with you. The Halifax Explosion one.
Yeah, that one's great.
Laura C. Cord.
The brain surgery one.
The voting. The women.
Yeah.
Dr. Penfield is classic.
Yeah.
Did you pour cold water on my hand, Dr. Penfield?
Sorry.
I smell burnt toast.
Yeah.
snorted.
I mean, when I started watching this, my first thought was, this is not a great end to our, like, regular podcast. But then all this Canadian stuff turned it around big time because in our first
few episodes, we were always pulling out the Canadian stuff, like, and talking about the Edison twins and stuff. So now we're back to You Can't Do That on Television.
And Paul Popowicz, he played Winona's brother. He is famous for Catwalk.
Yeah, which we have talked about before.
Yes. Fine, I won't bring it up again.
No, please. Yeah, so I wrote it down.
I actually met Paul Popowicz in Ottawa.
Well, you've met all these
in
guys.
In the mall. I know. So, like, I've met the cast of this movie.
Who did he play? Matt said he played Jesse or something.
Yeah, he was the drummer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't watch Catwalk really enough.
Oh, I have them everybody. All on DVD.
That'll be our next podcast. The Catwalk episodes.
YTV's Catwalk.
Oh my gosh. And Barry Pepper. Barry Pepper is a very Canadian guy. I don't know. He's
in a lot of war movies. That's what I remember. Right. Before. Like, I was like, oh, he's always like in, you know, period pieces, I guess.
My friend was buying, we had a book club where we would debate about books, and we were reading the 33 and a third book about Celine Dion.
Oh.
The one that's like basically talking about bad taste and Celine Dion. Oh. And so my friend was buying one of her, like, I don't know if it was her Las Vegas show. It was like a show of hers that we were going to watch and then talk about the book. And Barry Pepper was next to him when he was buying it. And he felt like Barry Pepper was judging him for buying this Celine Dion thing. So that's what I think of when I see Barry Pepper.
It's pretty good.
But yeah, he played Winona's husband, the alcoholic. So he was basically drunk through most of the, like, he had to play drunk through most of the film.
I thought Winona and his acting were, like, really, really good.
I agree.
Yeah, they did well.
They were good.
Winona, like, nailed it. Like, this was a really good role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had to have a number of miscarriages and, like
there was she had a lot of grief. All the emotions. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, supporting an alcoholic for all those years and, like, having to lie and just, you know, hustle and pawn everything. She pawned her wedding ring. Like, it was just brutal.
Yeah.
Because he's just, you know, he stole all the money for alcohol and he just left her. All those times he left her just sitting in the car waiting for him. He's like, I'm going to go get some cigarettes. And then she finds him in a bar or being thrown out of a bar or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It was brutal.
Yeah, that's when they came to Canada. They came to Canada in one
episode. They took a vacation to Canada, to Niagara Falls.
That's right. Because this was like in the 20s through to the 50s.
Yeah, so like a lot of it was focused during, like, took place during Prohibition time too.
Right, yeah.
So the alcohol was hard to get, and then he was working in the stock market during the crash.
Right.
And all that stuff. And then they lost all their money. They were doing well.
Mm-hmm. And then they weren't. Yeah. And then they were living in, like, her parents' house or a house their parents owned or something. I don't know. Her parents didn't seem to be there.
Mm-mm. They were not.
They were living there.
Yeah. Her mom died. Cancer.
Oh, yeah. That was rough.
Yeah.
Her mom was very, like, at the beginning, she was like, you can't leave him. He's your husband. You have to support him. And I felt really bad for her because it was like, oh, crap. Like, of course, in this time period, like, she'd be very encouraged to, like, it's your husband. It doesn't matter what he's doing. You have to stay with him.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the mom was dying, she was like, you have to have your own life. Like, sorry. Sorry I gave you that advice. You have to make sure you have your own life and don't just do everything for him.
Yeah.
Which I guess was the whole thing of her creating the, like, the
separate group.
Yeah, for the wives of alcoholics. Because in this scenario, all the alcoholics were men.
Yeah.
And their wives were supporting them. Yep.
There's some things in here. Winona rides a motorcycle.
Uh-huh.
With Barry in the sidecar. That was something. That was really funny.
She's always the driver, even in, like, period things like this where the woman wouldn't usually be the driver.
But she looked like she was having fun on there.
Yeah, she, like, he was fixing the motorcycle at some point, and then she's like, should I start it? And he's like, no. And then she starts it, and mud goes all over.
And
her.
She just laughs.
She's like, wah.
Sucker.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. Yeah, the husband was really bad. Like, the first time it was really bad, she came into the house and there was smoke in the house. And he had passed out drunk. And there was
dropped a cigarette or something.
And the room was, like, on fire. And she's stomping at the fire. And he's like, don't make a mess. Don't stop.
Why are you stomping? Like, I've got a headache type thing. Yeah.
And meanwhile, she had just told him, like, come home early. I have a, you know, bottle of wine kept away. And, you know, I'll get you a steak. And she comes home and he's already there and drunk and passed out and on fire, basically.
Yeah.
Sucks.
And she was like, you could have damaged. Did he not know she was pregnant that time around? Because she was like, you could have hurt yourself or the baby. And then he's like, baby. And then they're
so,
all happy.
Yeah, she lost her first baby. And then she didn't say anything about the second baby because she didn't want him to fuck it up, really.
I guess. Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, like, yeah, she lost the baby again. And her tube burst. And she called him and he didn't answer. And then she almost died. She had to have a hysterectomy because those times, I don't know. And
well, her tube burst, so I guess that was part of it.
Yeah. I don't know what modern medicine could do, but
right, yeah. And then her dad really reamed him out. Like she could have died.
And he, like, throughout the years, he keeps making all these pledges to God and the Bible that he won't drink again, and to her, but he keeps breaking that pledge.
Yeah, she's very religious, it seems, though. I don't know, did they ever show them going to church or anything? She just talks about being religious, and obviously that comes into the whole Alcoholics Anonymous, like, thing.
Yeah, the 12 steps and the higher blah, blah, blah.
Higher power thing.
Yeah.
Higher blah, blah, blah. Sorry. No, I understand.
The higher blah, blah, blah.
I don't know all of it.
God stuff. I don't know.
She did read some of the book, like, he wrote the book. I'm confused. So in the write-ups, I should have done this research, but it says that she started Al-Anon, which I think is just Alcoholics Anonymous, is it not? And then they say that he started Alcoholics Anonymous. So I'm like, is that a different thing? Like, because she kind of started the thing
he
for
the book
people, like, who are supporting.
Yeah, I think, like, she started, like, the groups generally. Maybe she probably did, like, the, I don't know. Probably made it. I just wasn't sure
if there's a different name for what, like, the people who are, like, the
support,
family of people who are alcoholics. Anyway,
because it's like that the seems to P be flag what, for alcohol, you know,
right?
What I mean? Like,
yeah, but what is it? I don't know.
Well,
anyway, so there you go. So she started.
So there's one line thing I wrote down that she says, but she was talking about her prayers and, like. And she's like, my prayers are like ashes in my mouth. She was so pissed off at him because she's like, you know, it's bullshit.
She's been fighting for him all these years.
All those years. That's when she starts drinking. She tries to, you know, she takes a drink from him. She's like, what if I drink? And he's like, no.
Yeah. She downs it. Yeah, she was really, really good in this.
Yeah.
It's, I guess, worth a watch. I would not have thought, like, I don't know if I've ever watched a Hallmark movie. Have you?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I maybe have and just forget.
Well, they're not, you know, they're special. There's a special quality to them, but they're worth it. And now, like, I guess, like, Netflix Christmas movies have that.
Oh yeah,
same.
People are super into those things.
It's the same kind of thing, but this I felt with, like, you know, a couple more dollars could have.
Yeah, it definitely felt. I don't know. Like, I wrote to, I think it's just for lack of a better comparison. I was like, it reminded me. It had the feel of, like, Road to Avonlea or something.
The opening reminded me of Little Women because she had a voiceover again in this one. Another classic Winona voiceover. And it's like,
this is why it's a perfect one.
I know. And it had, like, this almost the same music. Like, the music I couldn't figure out, but it sounded like some of the music from Little Women or something in the beginning. And I was like, what is going on? What movie am I watching?
Yeah, it definitely had a feel that I can't describe. That just seemed familiar.
There was another supporting actress in it who Winona and her husband, they wanted to adopt, and her friend basically blocked it and said, because she later eventually told Winona, like, I prevented it because my dad, or I grew up with alcoholics, and I don't want that upon your child or whatever.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah.
Yeah. So ultimately it was a good thing, but it was kind of like,
oof.
Yeah. But that actress was good too. Another Canadian actress. I don't know who she is.
I know. I looked through all of them and I was like, I recognize some, like, I recognize that Dr. whatever.
Bob,
Dr. Bob. He was definitely somebody who's in like everything. I think he's been in some or at least one Cronenberg movie. Oh, Frank yeah. Moore. Frank Moore is his name. He's an older gentleman. Lots of things. A lot of people were in The Long Kiss Goodnight. That was apparently filmed here, I guess. And same with Murder at 1600. Two, like a couple of people were in that.
Oh.
So, two things that were filmed here for sure. Yeah. Good times. We got to visit some Toronto of 2010 yeah. that was portraying
Shit.
America in the 1920s. yeah, it specifically said like
no Lakeview no. diner.
It's always the Lakeview and things.
Yeah. Cocktail. Take This Waltz has yeah, there's yeah. lots of Lakeviews.
The fish movie.
What's the fish movie? Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, the love fish.
The love fish.
The key lime pie one.
I know what you mean, and why can't I think of what it's called either? It's the, what's his name?
Exactly. We're so oh good at this. God. Love fish.
Oh, no. The guy who lives here, who's not from here originally.
He lives in Hamilton. He likes
Lord.
Hamilton.
What is this? He's from Hamilton?
No, he likes Hamilton.
Oh, he lives in Toronto, doesn't he? Why can't we?
He directed.
Are you just going to look up Love Fish? Is that how? Pan's Labyrinth is what
Pan's
you're.
Pan's Labyrinth, yes.
Oh, this is how we're going to get there. I knew what you meant because I know that you mean Guillermo del Toro. Yeah. And the movie that we're talking about, who's going to get there first? The Shape of Water.
Oh.
There we go.
Woo!
The Love Fish. amazing. Wow. See, this is how our brains don't work anymore because we just have IMDb in our hands at all times that we can't think of things off the top of our heads. Whew. But he's at things all the time. He's always at, like, screenings. Him? Guillermo del Toro? He's always at stuff in Toronto
around.
Because he lives here sometimes. Anyway, somehow we got into... Oh, yeah, the locations. Yeah, the Allen Gardens thing, they said, like... Washington, D.C., and then she's sitting on a bench, and I'm like, that's Allen Gardens. What's going on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. And, like, all the front of the houses, it's, like, all Jarvis Street. I think that's where they shot most of the stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's you can recognize doors.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
I'm not sure if it was... Did they show them getting married? There was something towards the beginning that was outside of like a big building. And that was the first moment where I was like, is this in Toronto? Because it just looked very Toronto. I couldn't identify the exact building, but I was just like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And it ended, you know, some lady gave Winona a house to live in.
I know, right? What a thing.
And they lived throughout their lives in a free house in Bedford Falls or whatever.
That's exactly what they
said
it was called. The place. But, oh yeah, because what was he going to go do? Were they just traveling around to people's couches and trying to spread the word of like AA that they created? And then they were about to go somewhere else and she's like, nope, I needed to live in a place. Like, I need a home.
She was going
to
go by herself. Yeah,
I'm just going to go. See you later. And then he followed and it was like, oh,
in Union
they're
Station.
Together.
Yeah.
That was in Union, right? I was waiting for
the
Union
steps.
Station moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they stayed together and lived in Medford Falls.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, one of those movies that said all the words at the end about how they ended up, I guess, I think, on the screen.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah. I guess when you help people out, because they definitely didn't have any money, because they were both just running this thing that was free for people. So, I think they lost the parents' house, because they weren't paying the mortgage on it.
They lost everything. They had no money.
But this lady was like, you helped someone. I don't remember if it was her husband or someone.
Yeah,
but she was
someone.
Just like, I've got this house and I never use it. You can just live there as long as you want. And she's like, oh, I couldn't. She's like, please, go for it.
So it's pretty sweet.
So they did. And I love that she's like, you can live there for as long as you want. And then at the end it said, they lived out the rest of their lives in this house.
Yeah,
it's like, wow, you really took her up on
different.
That. Yeah, we're just, it's our house now.
I don't know why they have to say that, but it's Hallmark.
Right. I think it said that anyway.
No, I think it did too.
Yep. That's not a bad Winona to end on. She was good. It was something I never would have watched otherwise. We tried to skip it, but people were like, wouldn't stand for it.
No. One thing that we should do the next time we do one is Looking for Richard.
Oh, documentary, right?
Because I have that on tape somewhere. And yeah, it's worth a visit because it's like a fake documentary almost, or like a fake making of a movie.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll plug that one in sometime.
Yeah, we'll gotta plug that in.
But the next thing that she's supposed to be doing is that HBO miniseries, and I just got like in my Google alerts for Winona, I think there was an article about it coming out in March.
Okay.
So it's actually not that long until we'll be doing another one.
Hello.
Just won't be every other Wednesday anymore. Maybe April. Like, I don't know when, like, we wouldn't do it until the series is over. And it's probably just a 6 or 8 episode or so.
So when that series is done, we'll be back maybe for the spring and do a couple episodes.
We have never told you where to follow us, so we're going to tell you right now. Because, you know, you can check out our Twitters and then you'll know that we have a new episode
coming. Yeah. Rekha, if you want to get some updates.
Rekha's Home Rekha on Twitter. And I'm Lindsay_Gibb. And you can also follow Beans, cat of the podcast, on Instagram at Eric Beans and Rakim. Check out Beans' life in between podcast tapings.
It's
interesting.
It's been a slice.
It has. I've enjoyed talking about Winona with you every 2 weeks.
The early 2000s was a rough time.
Oh man, it was rough.
Ooh, boy. We got out of there.
Ooh, we did, and she's been doing much better.
She has. And we're very excited to see more.
Yeah, I think this HBO thing will be interesting. I'm going to try and read the book because I have time. I haven't had a lot of time when we did it every other week to read, like, Little Women or, like, read whatever book it was. The miniseries is based on a book by Philip Roth, I think. Okay. So I'm going to read it.
Shit.
And then we'll come back and I'm going to have a baby.
I'm going to have a baby by the next
time. That's right. By the next time? When's the baby?
The baby's due February 22nd.
Oh, my God. That's so soon.
Yeah.
Congrats. We haven't talked about that on the podcast, have we? I didn't want to be the one to bring it up in case you were like, I'm not telling the world I'm having a baby. They'll find out. If you follow Rekha on Twitter, you might see things about the baby, too.
Yeah. So a couple of
check out the
Christmas light related tweets, let me tell you.
Woo! Christmas lights.
Yeah, like dad tweets. You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Gonna have some good dad tweets.
Woo, boy.
Sweet. Well, I mean, lots of things to look forward to then in the spring. People can come back and listen to us talk about Winona some more and your baby.
Yeah, maybe I'll bring it on the pod. So it'll
like
cry.
That it's an it.
So it'll cry. It, yes.
Yeah. Sweet.
Woo-hoo.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening, people. Go watch some Winona movies.
Winona Forever.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Winona Forever is part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. Episodes produced by Chris Landry. Music by No Refunds. Hosted by Lindsay Gibb and Rekha Tulsaram. Contact Rekha and Lindsay at winona@cageclub.me.